My dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from the God who makes us free. Amen. Welcome to Confirmation 101. Today's lesson is the Ten Commandments. In fact, our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade confirmation students here at Spirit of Joy will be studying the Ten Commandments this year, specifically in January. And lucky you, you are studying them today too. If you happen to be an adult, and further, if you happen to be an adult who grew up Lutheran, you may have had to memorize the Ten Commandments, or at the very least learn them, within their context in the small catechism when you were in confirmation. As I told our confirmation students on Wednesday night, catechism is just a fancy word for teaching, a teaching tool written by Martin Luther. I myself did not grow up Lutheran, and I did not have to memorize the small catechism until I was in seminary. And at that point, I had to memorize and recite the small catechism for a teaching assistant, which was slightly traumatic for an overachieving 28-year-old. So let's all just take a deep breath, push aside any difficult memories of memorizing the Ten Commandments, and listen again for the Word of God. You shall have no other gods. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. And I say this is the word of the Lord not to be overly pious, but to say actually this is the word of the Lord. This is God's word. That is, it comes from the Bible. The Ten Commandments, we sometimes take them so out of context that we forget that they were given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. They were given to flesh and blood human beings to be lived out with and for other flesh and blood human beings. As Luther Seminary professor Rolf Jacobson says, it's strange that in the church we usually only talk about the Ten Commandments to kids. We only teach them to kids when really the rules were for adults, for real flesh and blood adults. Likewise, Dr. Harry Wendt of Crossways International was known to say that in the church we usually teach kids and we play with adults when really we should let kids play and teach adults. In this case, the Ten Commandments are for adults. So I am going to teach adults a little bit and maybe kids and youth too. Whoever you are a flesh and blood human being and these rules are for all of us. Well, in the story, the flesh and blood human beings that these rules are given to were the Israelites. They were those people whom God had brought out of slavery into Egypt. The rules were for them. At this point in the story, when we're on Mount Sinai, the rules are given to Moses, and the people then hear them through Moses. At this point in the book of Exodus, which is where this story is from, the Israelites have long been on their wilderness journey from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Their leader, Moses, has brought them out of slavery in Egypt by God's leading, has brought them out of slavery, and so the people are finally now free. Years have passed, miles have been traveled, the Red Sea has been crossed, daily bread has been sent from heaven, and then these commandments, these rules, are given. God gives these rules to a free people. So with this, God is saying, this is what it looks like to live in freedom. God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and God freed them for the sake of living faithfully in community with God and with one another. Martin Luther will later reframe this paradox of freedom through a Christian lens in his treatise on the freedom of a Christian, which is summarized by this statement, quote, "A Christian is a perfectly freed lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all," end quote. I'll repeat that. Luther says, "A Christian is a perfectly freed lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." The Israelites were set free from their bondage in Egypt for the sake of living faithfully with God and with one another. And so too are we freed from bondage for living faithfully with God and with one another. And that's why there are rules to freedom, because freedom has a purpose. Freedom is not anarchy. Freedom is faithful living for God and for the neighbor. In her book, The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters, which I'm currently reading and soaking up and delighting in, and I commend it to all of you, the author Priya Parker titles one of her chapters, quote, "Don't be a chill host." That is to say, if you are in the role of hosting a gathering, no matter the size or scope or purpose of the gathering, do not, she says, be laissez-faire, laissez-faire. Do not be hands-off as a host in the planning or the execution of the event. Do not let everyone plan or do whatever they want, because at best, the people in your gathering will feel awkward. They won't know what to do with their bodies or with their time, what they're showing up for or why they are there. They will not know where to go or when. And at worst, people could feel hurt or left out or ostracized in the group. As a host, she says, you need to establish rules. Rules and order to ensure that people find a sense of purpose and belonging, to ensure that there is not total anarchy in your gathering, because then there will be freedom for connection. People need rules. We talk a lot about rules these days in our world as it is. Some businesses have rules posted on their doors. We have rules posted, masks required, on our doors. Some businesses don't, some buildings don't have rules posted. These rules are about masks like ours and physical distancing, rules about how many people can be inside at the same time, like at gyms often. We here at Spirit of Joy have prayerfully discussed our rules. This weekend we had planned to host our first indoor prayer service since March with rules in place. Those rules were an attendance cap at 50 and requirements for masks and social distancing. And ultimately, with COVID-19 cases surging in our community, and with the guidance of many medical personnel and leaders within our congregation, we decided to wait until further notice, when our community is no longer in the red zone in many pandemic metrics. These are not just rules for the sake of rules. They are rules for the care and well-being of our community. This past Tuesday, my own aunt died from COVID. She was the youngest of my mom's siblings, and now she's been the first of them to die. Aunt Alice's youngest grandson is younger than my 7-month-old daughter. I saw pictures of her swimming with her grandson in July, and now she's gone. Rules are not just for the sake of rules. They are for the care and well-being of the community, of people like my Aunt Alice and her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren who now face life without her. Rules are not just for the sake of rules. Well, to put on my confirmation teacher hat again, one of my favorite things about Martin Luther's small catechism is his explanation to the Ten Commandments, which we're, of course, studying right now. The catechism, again, which is a fancy word for teaching, includes Luther's concise commentary on some of the core tenets of our Christian faith, namely the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Sacrament of Holy Baptism and the Sacrament of the Altar, aka Holy Communion. Even if, perhaps to our 21st century ears, some of Luther's language might sound a wee bit outdated, and of course that's translated from the German into English, Luther seeks to ground these tenets, these things, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, the Sacrament of the Altar, and the Lord's Prayer. He seeks to ground these tenets of our faith in real-life explanations. He seeks to show us what they look like for flesh and blood humans. So the question he frequently comes back to in the catechism, the fancy word for teaching, the question is, what does this mean? What does it mean to say you shall have no other gods? What does it mean to not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God? What does it mean to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? And so on, in terms of the Ten Commandments explanation. And with each explanation, in his response to the question, what does this mean, Luther takes the commandment further. Luther seems to imply that the Ten Commandments, quite frankly, set the bar pretty low if we leave them as they are. Like not murdering and not committing adultery and not stealing stuff that's not ours sets the bar pretty low. So in answering the question, what does this mean, Luther takes it further. He raises the bar. For example, he says the Eighth Commandment isn't just about not lying to your neighbor. Bar's pretty low there, not lying. But he takes it further, and Luther writes this, quote, "We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light," end quote. I will confess I don't have this memorized anymore. Luckily, we have all kinds of resources where you can find the small catechism as it is, even if you don't have it memorized. We are to come to the defense of our neighbors, Luther says, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. His explanation of the Eighth Commandment. And a relevant word for this election season, is it not? We are to come to the defense of our neighbors, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. But for me this week, in light of my aunt's death, the explanation, the commandment that hits closest to home is the Fifth Commandment. You shall not murder. Luther says that's setting the bar pretty low. You shall not murder. It's not just about murdering. I might say it's not just about how many ICU beds are available. No, to quote Luther, we are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. Do not murder is not enough. Do no harm is not even enough, perhaps. We are called to help and support our neighbors in all of life's needs. Neighbors like my Aunt Alice. Freedom is living faithfully for the sake of God and neighbor. The Ten Commandments are not just rules for the sake of rules. They are for the sake of the world. The Ten Commandments are good news for the world because at their core they are about the health and well-being of all. It is good news for me if you abide by the Ten Commandments, and it is good news for you if I do the same. And finally, dear siblings in Christ, the Ten Commandments are good news because they come with a promise from God. This list of rules begins with God saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Funny thing is, the first commandment is not even a rule. It's a promise. It's a promise. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's a promise. I am your God. The Lord is God. The Lord who is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord who brought God's people out of slavery. The God who wants God's people to be free. The God who made God's own people free. This God is our God. So we shall have no other gods, which is how the first commandment continues, because no other God is worthy of our trust. No other God, not money, not fame, not power, not a polished self-image, not our politics, no other God can make this promise to us. And so as Luther says at the beginning of all the rest of the commandments, we are to fear, love, and trust God because this God made us free. Free from bondage, free from sin, free from all the powers of this world that rebel against God, as we say in our baptismal liturgy. This God makes us freed for the sake of loving our neighbors, to help and support them in all of life's needs. This is our gift, and this is our call. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to the God who frees us. Amen.